The Holy Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to John.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
Jesus said, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. The hired hand, who is not the shepherd and does not own the sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and runs away. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. The hired hand runs away because a hired hand does not care for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me, just as the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. So there will be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again. I have received this command from my Father. The Gospel of the Lord. In the name of God, who creates, redeems, and sustains us. Amen.
The King of love, my shepherd is, whose goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever.
There's something about music that just goes deeper than words. Music goes deeper and encapsulates longings and memories, times in our life when we've been joyful, times when we've been sorrowful. It just goes to that place. Perhaps as familiar as a song or a hymn like "The King of Love, My Shepherd Is" are the words of Psalm 23. You could say it's the most familiar part of the Bible, so a song speaking those words has a real resonance to it. It's familiar to me in a personal way because I grew up at a place called St. Columba's. That's the name of that hymn tune. So we sang it on our feast day, our St. Cross Day, if you will. And it's a hymn I've sung at funerals and joyous occasions. It speaks in powerful ways about the closeness of God, how God is our protector, our shepherd, about how Jesus is with us. And above all, it talks about grace, the grace of God's presence, the gift of God in our life. This Sunday is often called Good Shepherd Sunday. It comes every year on the fourth Sunday of Easter. The church has been doing this work for a long time, and we're a tradition that doesn't try and reinvent the wheel. And the reason it's wise is because, I don't know about you, but my resurrection life of Easter is getting a bit boring. It's getting a bit normalized. I'm getting back into my old routines, all the things I said I would never do again after Lent. Well, welcome back. So we're given something familiar in the hopes that it renews us, it keeps us connected, it reminds us of who we are and whose we are. There's another way in which we're reminded today in the collect, that prayer which collects the readings Grant that when we hear his voice, we may know him who calls us each by name. There's perhaps nothing closer, nothing more personal, nothing more known to us than our name. As a clergy person, I try really hard to learn names. I spend time with pictures and directories because I know the difference it makes when I or Rachel or Robin or any of us call you by name. Oftentimes, I learn names through stories. If I visit you in the hospital, I'll learn your name a lot faster than just saying goodbye out the door. And we try hard because we all know the difference when we're called hello or we're called hello, Linda. We all know the difference between. What an amazing thing to imagine that God knows our names before we know them. Calls us by name. The Good Shepherd calls us before we even know who we are. 16 times in Psalm 23, there's language of I or me. It's a very personal psalm. It knows us by name. It speaks of the shepherd who knows us and who is always following and running after us with goodness and mercy and kindness. What an image that is to renew us. And yet, like anything, any good gift in life, we come up with all sorts of ways to balk at it. We either dismiss it as some kind of mere sentimentality that doesn't mean much, as a way to keep distance from it, or we say, more often perhaps, we could never be deserving of it. The grace is just a little too disturbing, for if God or my spouse or my friend or this stranger knew who I really was, what I had done all those years ago or yesterday or whatever, they would never love me. I would never deserve that grace and kindness and mercy. It's, you might even say, unimaginable. Grace is unimaginable. And I found a new way of understanding that this past 12 days. Some of you who are on Facebook know that I was doing a torrid walk through New England the last 12 days, through Vermont, Connecticut, and New York, a place in Connecticut where I went to seminary. I got to see friends that I've known for a couple years, friends I've known for a lot longer, my mother, who I've known for a lot longer, someone who knows my name pretty well. You might experience this whenever you're with family or friends, people who've known you for a while, known your name, stories and testimonies of your identity come to the surface. Sometimes those are good stories, sometimes they're not so good stories, but they're real. More than anything else. And grace is found in those times, especially when you're like me and you live a long way away from all those people now. There is grace to be found when you're back with them. But grace is a funny thing. You really often don't want it. It's often unimaginable, it can't be named, but it's there and we know it. And I found a new way of understanding that through seeing Hamilton on Broadway. You've already heard one sermon in the last little bit about Hamilton, so you might get tired of it, but it's a really good show, so you're going to hear another one. There's always something deeper, unable to be named. And I need to set the scene for a song that talks about this. It's near the end of the show. It's in a time of a really hard time for Alexander Hamilton and his life. This is all true, of course, from history, that at this point in the show, he's been exiled from political office. He has no more elected or appointed future in politics. A memo, a pamphlet has been going around detailing in some pretty sultry language an affair he's had with a married woman. And it's being used as a way to blackmail him and to stop his political career. And his wife has just received this memo. And then Hamilton's son has just died in a duel. We which of course foreshadows his own death by Aaron Burr in a couple of scenes. It's a really hard time in their life. It's a powerful time. A time wrapped with suffering and loss and grief and betrayal and infidelity and all the stuff of life. And then they sing this song.
There are moments that the words don't reach. There's a grace too powerful to name. We push away what we can never understand. We push away the unimaginable.
Don't we all? Somewhere in life, there's been a grace, there's been an unimaginable, something that convicts us, that calls us by name, and yet we can't seem to accept it. It's there, but we stay in the relationship. We stay there because we know that grace is sufficient. We all have a promise like that in our life. I don't know what it is for you. A time of great joy and love and grace, and a time of great loss and suffering and grace. It really encapsulates all of it, because it's a gift of God's presence and love to be there no matter what. And we all identify with that great promise in our own way, because that's the vehicle to which we can understand the great promise, the great grace that the Good Shepherd lays down his life for us, that we are his friends, that we have been and will always be being changed, transformed, renewed by this grace too powerful to name. And God wants that for each of us and so many more. For there are those not of this fold that the Good Shepherd wants to bring into his midst. May we join him in that work, for that is our call. The King of love, my shepherd is, his goodness faileth never. I nothing lack if I am his, and he is mine forever. Amen.